IDC Radio. 106.2 FM.
106.2 FM.
What is up, guys? My name is Eliezer Lev. I'm here with my good friends Ezra Snookle.
What's up, guys?
Daniel Dolphin.
How y'all doing?
And Mendel Zlotnick.
What's Gucci, fam?
All right, we are here in the IDC International Radio Station recording Real Life. Now, that is R-E-E-L Life, because in this podcast, we'll be discussing film and its importance to the world. And it's important to us.
I think most importantly, it's important to us.
Absolutely.
I think that's the entire idea of all of this.
Now, we're just a bunch of friends who got together and were like, you know what? Let's make a podcast about movies. But why? Why would we make a podcast about movies?
That's a good question.
I think we had to ask ourselves the most important question is, what are we lacking in these conversations, like between our friends, between the people we know, and random strangers out there? What do they necessarily have to contribute to a topic of conversations on movies?
So the whole point of this podcast is to get other people informed in the movie conversation and allow them to not only join conversations, but start them. Like, I want people walking around and be like, you know what? I saw Titanic. I thought it was shit.
What the
fuck? You shut your mouth.
What are you talking? Don't. Okay. What are you doing? Are you doing here?
A little bit controversial. Right. Just a little bit.
Just a little.
I want people to be able to have those conversations. And be able to back it up. Have the knowledge.
Have the balls.
Well, yeah. But
you gotta have those.
Have the knowledge to back up their claims and just have a good time with it.
Yeah, basically so that you could show, socialize, I appreciate the movie, but look, I've got some added value to the conversation.
Absolutely.
Right. Right.
Be able to bring a unique perspective.
Definitely.
So in this week, we were tasked with going back to our childhood. Get the movie that inspired us to like love movies, and the first movie that like we can seriously say that we loved, and just talk about it. Let you guys into our lives, you know, get to know us.
Yeah, just to show you what we think practically these movies have brought to us in the real world, its real life aspects, and to just generally show and display how we got into movies and how we fell in love with this industry.
So, without further ado,
I'll just dive into it. Let's go with the story of Home Alone and why it's so important to me. So obviously, I figure most people already know the plot of Home Alone. You know, boy gets left at home. You know, some burglars trying to break in, steal his dad's, you know, cachet of rich ass stuff. Yeah, I mean, like, come on, that's a nice ass house.
How rich were they?
He had like a pretty cool,
doorknob. They were able to make it rain.
I mean, like, if you think about it, like, we're college students, bro. Think about the electricity bill. This guy had, like, automatic lights for Christmas when he wasn't even home. I mean, that just says enough.
Yeah.
He's already well off.
So. You're saying he kept on his Christmas decor while they went on that trip?
Yeah, yeah. It's part of the thing. There's a very specific scene where Marv and Harry are sitting in the van, and he's like, the lights are going to go on now. And all the lights come on because they're all automatic timers. But yeah, obviously this is a movie headed up by like the three main guys. We're going to go with Macaulay Culkin as our homeboy, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin McAllister. Then we got Joe Pesci.
Pesci.
Oh,
fuck. Yeah, he sounds like a very pesky. He's a very pesky guy in the movie, but yeah. Okay, so Joe Pesci, my bad, and Daniel Stern. So straight up, like, three characters that really made the whole movie. I feel like everyone else is just like icing on the top, but these guys are like the cake. So one of like the underlying themes that you see throughout the movie is overcoming adversity. You see that every time he goes down into his basement, he has little like freaks the fuck out because of that boiler like down there, and like, see him moving and saying his name, he's like freaking out. You know, like some guy, the guy with the shovel in the snow, you know, they call him like a serial killer. That he's got like a, you know, like a garbage can full of like dead bodies with salt, because that happens in America.
Not gonna lie, I was scared of my neighbors after watching that.
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't really have much snow where I'm from in South Africa, so it was I wouldn't know what those guys keep in their garbage cans. But yeah, so you see him like, you know, being for the first half of the movie, being afraid of all these things. And there's like a very pivotal scene where he like steps outside, where you think that he's finally conquered everything. He's like, I'm not afraid anymore. You hear me? I'm not afraid anymore. And then he bumps into the guy with the shovel and he's like, ah! And he's just like, you know, they do like the fast motion run of him waving his hands all around.
They can't see it, the audience, but your impersonation of Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Tony Award winning quality, man.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. So I think like the biggest adversity brought into like an actual, you know, like practice was the burglars coming in. I mean, as an 8-year-old kid, some random ass creepy dudes coming into your house, steal your shit. I mean, that's as scary as it gets.
Yeah.
Especially if you're home alone and your parents are nowhere to be found.
You also don't know that they necessarily want to steal something. They might be breaking in for different reasons.
He hears them. He overhears them. But yeah, no, regardless of what it is, it's creepy. You know, you remember as kids, bro, you even know it with kids. Like, kids are like, they meet a new person, they hide behind their parents for the first couple of seconds before they come out their shell. You know, kids are slightly afraid. Well, to be
fair, Kevin was a pretty odd kid.
Kevin was a pretty odd kid, but still, I mean, he's 8 years old and he believed that he honestly wished his family away, forgot that they went on vacation, just genuinely believed that they on vacation.
You got 8-year-olds believing in Santa Claus, like, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, of course he does believe in Santa Claus. He goes up to the Santa guy, he's like, yeah, I know you're not the real Santa, but I also know you work for him. And it's just like, it's like, here, kid, have a Tic Tac. I think like the main like the most powerful part of the movie is the battle plan where he, you know, he makes a whole bunch of traps around his house. And I mean, as a kid, when you watch that shit is cool. You know, this kid
that
has
montage,
got, he's got his brother's rifle, so he's like shooting it, bro. Actually, for a while, you know, there's that scene where he puts the gun through the door flap and he shoots you know, Marv in the balls. And he goes and the way that he goes, he's like,
wait.
You know,
he gets shot in the nuts.
Like that's yeah.
And he keeps going.
It's like a pellet gun.
I thought we were talking about you some castration.
Clarified on that because you can't have an 8-year-old kid running around with a real rifle.
Yeah, I mean, in those days, I think it was fine, but today's it's not.
I thought we're talking about like some thanks castration, a lot, here, like some serious circumcision going on.
So actually, funnily enough, he actually says that after like half of the traps are done, Marv loses the plot and he said, "If I catch you, I'm gonna chop off your cojones and boil them in motor oil." And I was like, when I was a kid, I didn't understand
he
what
that
meant. That? Yeah.
What?
And
yeah.
You can't boil something in motor oil. What is
that's
this?
That's like some Game of Thrones shit, like, right there.
When I heard that when I was a bit older,
it's
I was
pretty
like,
medieval.
Oh, damn, like that's crazy. But like you see, God. Like he
and
gets
that inspired
these,
you.
I want to castrate someone when I'm older.
Mom, where can I get some motor oil?
Yeah, just to add it to the shopping list. But yeah, basically, we have the traps, and that was super pivotal for me because this was the first time that I watched a movie, and I looked at a character, and I wanted to be that character, and that I had a dream about that character. Before I got into superhero movies, before I got into any of like the other franchises where I could like, you know, delve into like the world of the fantasy of the movie.
You're stealing my taste,
boy. This was the first time that I actually had like a dream where I was like this and, you know, like, you know, fighting off the bad guys. And it kind of like, you know, got me started on, you know, like my own deviousness, making my own traps of sorts, you know.
No.
Leaving things around the house for people to trip over. I'd wait until like my brother would walk in the room and, you know, like shove the broom between his legs and like just watch him face
plant.
I hope
your brothers beat you up for this.
My brother's younger than me. No one's beating me up.
Oh, poor kid.
Yeah, I like, you know, put a bucket of water on top of the door and like hope and pray my mom would walk in. One time she did, except it didn't like fall and like pour the water. The bucket just like hit her on the head.
So you'd rather give your mom a concussion than be a good kid?
Yeah, she claimed she was fine. And, you know, like as soon as she left,
hasn't been the same since.
I don't think I've been the same since. but yeah, like I like just all that sort of stuff, you know, like trying to build, you know, like a fort, a trap, you know, as a kid, for me, that was huge.
Can I ask you, being from South Africa, there's a little rumor about break-ins in some of the neighborhoods.
It's not a rumor, it's a statistic, but.
So I think that the difference between us and a lot of Americans, like South Africans and a lot of Americans, is that like for us, that fantasy is a little bit more real and a little
bit
scarier.
So you're prepared now. You're like, you come in, I'm going to home alone you, bitch.
I mean, like, I don't know when they're going to, I don't overhear them planning when they're going to come. But yeah, no.
Like Joe,
I
mean,
you're
6'2",
200 pounds. Like,
pesky.
You know, like you know how like in America there's the signs outside say like this home is secured by padlock and like stuff like that. So this home has a child that watched Home Alone.
Well said, well said.
I like
it. Yeah, but we got our fences and our gates and everything like that. But I think that when I watched it as a kid, obviously I loved Kevin. When I watched it again now as an adult this past week, I think I fell in love more with Marvin Harry. Marvin Harry, amazing characters. One is dumb. The other one's dumb as well, but thinks he's like the really smart guy. And also, you know, following a bit of a trend with, you know, like movies as of late, you know, like appreciating the villain a little bit, understanding mm-hmm. where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. I definitely get that.
Yeah. The Wet Bandits, you know, Wet Bandits. but definitely would recommend to anyone who hasn't seen the movie to go watch it. I apologize for any spoilers that I might have given away. But even then, it's still worth a watch. But yeah, definitely a 10 out of 10 movie and absolutely crucial for who I am today.
Awesome.
Nice. Love it.
Great to hear. Anyway, hey everyone, it's Daniel again. As I said before, it was a very tough decision to decide which movie resonated with me the most from childhood. But in the end, I settled on Aladdin. And yeah, I mean, like, I would say it probably wasn't my favorite movie growing up. But I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Starkid or Twisted, but their theater. Starkid is a theater company. Mm-hmm. They started in college, whatever, and they're still continuing nowadays, even though they're done. And they just do, like, satirical musicals, and they're amazing. They have tons.
Where are they located?
I'm not sure, actually.
Off-Broadway.
Yeah, definitely off-Broadway.
New York City?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, all the shit's on YouTube anyway, so
what's
their
name again?
Starkid.
Plugging them.
So what do they got to do? What do they have to do with Aladdin?
Anyway, so they put on this play called Twisted, which is meant to be the story of Aladdin, except told from Jafar's perspective.
Ooh.
Where he's just a good guy trying to get people out of poverty, keep the peace. Like, you know, Jasmine's sicking tigers on all these princes. No one's retaliating. What the fuck? But, like, yeah, so it's just hilarious. Like, they get into this, like, all the citizens are cursing out Jafar. Everyone's just making fun of him, treating him like crap, while he's just trying to do the right thing.
That is a bit twisted. But they do say with a lot of villains out there.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. Nice. I thought you guys would get that a bit quicker. It took you too long.
I was actually looking up Starkid Productions. Founded in 2009 at the University of Michigan by several people. Most notably, let's see if anyone knows this guy, Darren Criss.
No.
I've heard of him.
Blaine from Glee.
That's not why I've heard of him.
right?
Haven't heard of him.
Yeah.
But like I was saying with what he was saying, like when I say it's twisted in that, I mean like you see like how a bit warped like society has become in the sense of, you know, changing the story a bit to suit that not everyone's evil and not everyone's this. But the truth is that there's a quote out there that says that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm.
And I feel like some of the bad guys sometimes think they're good. But aren't always.
Like, well, Wicked.
I mean, I would say most people at least think they're good or doing somewhat the right thing in the moment. Of course, you have people out there who want to cause harm, but I would say, like, it makes sense. Like, when I watched Aladdin the first time when I was, like, much younger, I was, like, Team Aladdin. I was hoping he would get the girl, get out of there, Jafar would die, the genie would be free. I wanted it all.
Yeah.
But now, after having met certain people, I get Jafar. Like, it's the same thing with Karate Kid.
What the heck did you meet?
I met some pretty rough Israelis.
Oh, you compare. Oh, okay. They're not that fun. Jafar was your IDF mafaked, your officer?
Not my officer, just the people around me. Wow, they're all our seeming fear.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Anyway, I just love how it portrays like the different sides of everything. And you brought up old quotes. There's another one. Everyone's the hero in their own story. Jafar probably thought he was the hero. He was doing the right thing. He was smarter than the Sultan. He was more qualified. He wasn't some kid Aladdin just robbing people. Like,
yeah,
whatever. He could see himself as the good guy. So I kind of resonate with that a little bit more now.
So you say that you see the movie differently than you saw it in your childhood.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like your take and Mendel's take on what a childhood movie is a complete 180. It's completely different. While Mendel is saying, "Yo, this movie resonated with me as a kid. It's who I wanted to be." And looking back on it, he can like reflect and be like, "Yeah, same old movie, still good, still love it, still want to set traps and give my parents concussions." You're more on that take of like, "Huh, you know, I may have saw something once in a specific light, but now I'm seeing it in a completely different way. I'm seeing it from a way that maybe comes with maturity, comes with difference." And I guess that's another interesting take on a childhood movie, which that it matures in time, like a fine wine or a nice glass of whiskey. You know, you see it once in a specific way, and then it alternates, and you're like, huh, you know? Now I look at it differently.
So yeah, I would say, for example, Mendel more grew with his movie. I more grew into it.
How'd you grow into it?
So, no, like in the
as I said, just meeting people and realizing why some people suck.
I think that the question I wanted to ask you was, now when you watch the movie, are you paying attention to the character Jafar? You paying attention to what he's?
Yeah, of course. Yeah?
And you like you've got this image of that that play twisted.
Like I know they have. Watching it. They portray he is the bad guy in the movie, but like
I mean they make him ugly in the movie. Everyone looks you know like a regular that Disney chin. Character, like broad eyes, and he just has this like really creepy old dude look.
He also becomes like a megalomaniac genie at the end. No, doesn't he become like this massive red genie? And, like,
yeah, but he ends up in a lamp. So. Yeah, also,
come on, dude, if you haven't seen, yeah, came out in 1992, if you haven't seen Aladdin, like come on, you know.
Like, it's a classic. You've had 30 years.
Yeah. Will Smith has one out now. If you haven't seen it, you've probably seen the Will Smith edition.
Because you brought this up, I have to ask this question. You have a lantern, genie in the lantern, genie in the bottle. What are your three wishes?
What are your three wishes as a kid? What are your three wishes now?
As a kid, easy. All the candy in the world. Okay. No school.
All right.
All right.
And camp all year.
Camp all year.
That's probably right.
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right. Three
as
now.
As an adult.
As an
now, three wishes. I don't know. One, probably finish school already. I'm not down for another 3 years.
Oh, man.
We're only like a month and a half.
We just started, bro.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm casually optimistic.
All right. Two would have to be, I don't know. Just Corona getting better because this is really annoying me.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Three would probably be all the candy in the world.
All the candy in the world.
So there's some things you haven't grown out of. Okay, so I'm like a little bit different. I don't really care about COVID. I definitely would have gone for like an unlimited credit card. Like a credit card I could just swipe an unlimited amount of times.
But if you have all the candy in the world, that's unlimited currency.
No.
That will always be good.
No. Bro, with my unlimited credit card, I could buy all the candy in the world.
Back in the day, you could sell like a Twix bar for $20.
Back in the day.
What were his three wishes in the movie? He asked for, I'm sorry, I'm just going to spoil it, but what was it? It was getting out of the cave.
Getting out of the cave.
Oh, being a prince.
To become a prince.
And what was the last?
Genie going free. Yeah, genie.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
I strayed from my point. I also want to add.
Not bad.
I would
hands down
genie.
The funniest line in the movie. The Sultan is telling Jasmine that because it's her 18th birthday, or I think at least think it's 18th birthday.
We
since
hope.
She hasn't, she hasn't been married yet. Since she hasn't yet married, she has to marry Jafar because he's the royal vizier.
Mm-hmm.
So just as he's saying this, Jafar walks into the room and Jasmine, of course, like it's a natural reaction. She's speechless. She doesn't know what to say. She's just told that she has to marry this creep. And then he's like, speechless, the perfect quality in a spouse.
What?
So like, this was actually just a phenomenal point. Because they made a point of it in the live action movie that came out in 2019.
The Will Smith one.
Yeah,
I love that one.
They actually added an entirely new song sung solely by Jasmine called Speechless, where she's like,
what?
I won't be speechless. Like, you'll never keep me down. All that.
Yo.
Women empowerment like stuff. Woman power. I mean, like when we were kids, I guess it wasn't as important to society to, you know, protect, you know, the integrity of women. And, you know, you can slide a joke like that in there.
I would say it wasn't important. I would say it was more like...
It wasn't a priority.
A quieter voice.
Yeah.
It wasn't
the focus.
But yeah, no, in today's day and age it is. Everything is like, you know, has to be very PC. Very PC. And if it's not, people go crazy over it.
Yeah. That's 2021.
Yeah, it's both good and bad, but yeah. Fair enough. Snoops.
My turn? All right, boys.
You're like, I could see you at the edge of your seat. You're like, so excited.
I mean, I love this movie, dude. Like, it's just, it means.
Wait, which movie you pick again?
What?
What?
I picked Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, the first Harry Potter movie.
Right.
Are you summoning the theme?
As soon as you say Harry Potter, I hear the theme.
I mean,
because
that's what it is. Like it's just like nostalgia.
We just
steroids.
Got demonetized because we forgot to copyright Warner Brothers.
Oh man,
yeah, it's not my song.
Nah, but dude, like if nostalgia was a drug, Harry Potter will be Walter White's meth from Breaking Bad. Like, it is.
Wow. Wait, what?
It is. Like,
what?
Dude,
where did you just go there?
I get chills from every moment. I mean, you start with, you know, just like you were saying before.
Did you get chills from that meth as well?
Yeah, who's your meth guy?
I don't know how to respond. Nah, but dude, seriously, I still, like, we were tasked with watching our childhood movies this past week, and yeah. I still get chills from each and every moment, you know, from John Williams' score coming on, Dumbledore walking on Privet Drive and using his Deluminator, like, chills every moment. Harry and Ollivander's shop, trying out the wands, Ollivander going, you know, I remember every wand I ever sold, Mr. Potter. And, you know, saying that his wand, the phoenix that gave the phoenix feather that gave it the ability, you know, to do magic, gave another feather, and that one's in Voldemort's wand. It's like super epic, and you're like, ah, shit! It's just super nostalgia-driven movie.
I'm imagining 8-year-old Ezra sitting there going like,
it's so funny you say 8-year-old Ezra, because like it actually all starts with legit, I think, 7 or 8-year-old Ezra. I was by my grandparents in Western Canada.
Yeah.
Shout out to Canada.
Woo.
And I think at the time I was struggling with reading, you know, ADHD boy, can't pay attention, and desperate for help. My mom asked my grandma, like, surely, you know, as a teacher, like you have some method, some way to get him interested in reading. So, you know, at the time, I mean, still today, but Harry Potter was very big, and it was like, I'd say, the entry into, you know, young adult fantasy novels.
Yeah.
And my grandmother came over to me, and she's like, listen, you know, I know you're coming back next summer, so if you finish the first Harry Potter by the time you get back, not only will I spoil you with treats and presents and as much Harry Potter Lego as you want, yeah, but like, we'll arrange just, you know, me and you, movie night, and come on, it's your freaking grandma. You feel like you're the shit. Like, you're just you as a favorite grandson. You know, it's
that's
best.
A big claim.
It's a big claim.
Yeah, that is.
So I'm not saying. I hope
give
I was
me
the
stuff. I mean, like, I wasn't incentivized. She's like, you're my grandson. I love you. Here. So where's the fun with that? I love going to grandma. That's the fun.
Yeah.
You know?
But anyways, I mean, yeah, like, we're not here to talk about books. We're here to talk about movies. But, you know, once I finished the book and I watched the movie, like, from both parts, you know, I was hooked, you know? Yeah. And I'd say more than a book is a movie, and more than a movie, it's like a community. You know, today you go online, go to the parks. You know, everyone wants to be that guy, that kid that gets that envelope with the green ink.
Yeah,
writing. Everyone.
I feel like when I think the biggest thing is when you ask someone, "Oh, you've watched Harry Potter." You ask like, "What house are you?"
Yeah,
you know. I mean, like, I'm Slytherin, just so.
Gryffindor represent.
If I had to pick, probably Hufflepuff.
You have to pick. Haven't you done the online test?
Nah, you gotta spend that decent time.
You can also find out your Patronus.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means, but
like, funny, my Patronus is a dolphin.
Puff.
Go team dolphin.
Go team dolphin.
Team dolphin. Fair enough, but like, you know, like you said. Very well said. It's a community. It's a fandom.
Absolutely.
The Potterheads.
Potterheads. Well said. Like I went to a comedy show actually once called Potting Around. Where we had to go. No. They actually called two people onto the stage, and I was one of those people. And they made us play like Quidditch, which, by the way, is a huge dream. Like, I wish real Quidditch, Bruce.
If you guys, we'll get back to your story. But if you guys quickly just shout out what position you each would be.
Oh, I don't know the positions.
You don't know the positions?
No.
What are you talking about? You're our host. How do you not know the positions of Quidditch?
Because I'm not that big of a fantasy guy.
Have you not seen the Harry Potter movies?
I've seen 1, 3, and 7.
The heck?
Okay, we're not talking to you anymore.
How are you the host?
You have been excommunicated.
Banished.
So I'd be a bludger. Yeah, bludger? You know, I'm very violent like that.
Mm. Right. What about you, Daniel? What would you be?
I'd probably go bludger as well.
Yeah?
You know. Yeah. What about you?
I think keeper, you know. My dad's a goalie. Mm. I like the whole protecting, stopping the quaffle from getting in.
Who are the defense guys, not the keeper?
No, that's the bludgers. They're the guys that whack it.
So I'd probably
the guys that move the ball around again. What are they called?
Chasers.
Chasers, that's
right. And then the seeker gets the snitch.
You know what? No, so I'll just for diversity's sake, I'll take a chaser.
Yeah, okay. They get the most. They get hit the most. They deal with the most shit.
Oh no, so I can't do that.
The movies, you always see them like tumbling on the grounds, getting whacked.
They're always the
guys
who are getting whacked.
Concussions,
like fragile.
Like Mendel's mom.
My mom's never played Quidditch. Okay, well, basically, I was saying we went up on the stage, we played Quidditch, and they gave me like a, you know, those jelly beans with like all the different flavors, you know, the bad flavors and the good flavors. And yeah. they called it like Bertie Bott's every yeah. flavor bean, you know.
You get a bogey flavor.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you see all the food that they've yeah. got in those chocolate frogs, and, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool. The whole wizarding world, pretty amazing.
So how many Purims did you go dressed as Harry Potter?
Honestly, one. One. For those really? Who don't know, Purim is like the Jewish Hanukkah.
The Jewish Halloween.
Jewish Halloween.
Jewish Halloween. Yeah.
Christmas is the Jewish is like the Jewish Hanukkah.
No, I was no, like Jewish Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the Jewish Christmas.
How do we Here we are. We don't even know so our own. Many times. Oh my in God. So many different ways.
My bad.
Yeah. No, but to emphasize on the story of community, like a few summers back, I went to Universal Parks, Universal Studios, and we went to the Harry Potter World, which already absolute dream. And I remember I was wearing my Gryffindor t-shirt, you know, got to represent. And I'm in the store. And I don't know if you guys know, but the employees are all like, it's part of like the, you know, yeah. their job. The to also like, you know, the shtick to like, yeah, to be in the shtick, like to play like the Harry Potter, play in the Harry Potter environment.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the stores, they're all wearing like, you know, Hogwarts robes. And each one has like a different house. And they're also representing like different houses. So I'm in my Gryffindor swag. And I go up in the cashier's from Slytherin. And she sees me like wanting to buy. I forget. I think I got like a flag, like
you
a pennant.
You definitely had to have gone wands. Yeah, no. Type of kid.
How much money did you spend at that place,
dude? Oh, on the wands, we milked out on my parents at least. Oh yeah, two wands, each wand $50. So $100
Quick
bucks
math,
just on some nice plastic. But anyways, I walk nice up. Plastic. I walk up, and she's like, "Ew, Gryffindor." And I'm like, I don't know what you're messing with. I mean, didn't you see the Quidditch results from last week? And then behind me, some employee wearing like his Gryffindor robes is like, damn! And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I wish I could be here forever.
Yeah, no, well said,
They made it real, man. They did their job. I hope those guys got raises. You know, they deserved it.
Would you feel secure putting your money in a bank like Gringotts?
Well, I mean, I don't want to ruin it for everyone, but like, if you guys see the fate of Gringotts at the end of the series, you know, I don't really know, you know.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, you know, it's about community, and it's also about just like the inspiration of like creating something big that so many people can relate to and want to be a part of. You know,
yeah.
It got me into wanting to read more, into, you know, going on more adventures, into books, and as well into film. It also got me to start writing my own novel.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
My question to you was, you know, you going on in this like much deeper meaning of Harry Potter and what it means to you. I mean, like for us, for most people who just watch Harry Potter, it's fucking wizards, bro. This is magic. These are dragons.
Yeah, don't you
want to
be in that
creatures?
World? Don't you want to be like?
Yeah, but I'm not gonna go into that world and be like my English teacher and talk about the underlying meaning of you know. The emotions of the main character. I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna wave my wand around.
I don't know. I think that's what I get from my childhood movie. I think like it's the imagination, the adventure. It's setting you on that life of, you know, wanting to have adventure. Like, yes, we're not wizards today, but you know, can't we all have a bit of excitement?
They're out there somewhere.
Yeah. Halavai, you know, Halavai means I wish.
You know, statistically speaking, at least one of us is a wizard.
What?
Where did you read these statistics?
On what statistic?
Worldometer.com.
His diary.
Worldometer.com.
I gotta read that diary. I'll publish that diary instead of my book.
I mean, like,
I can't.
Yeah, you're laughing so hard because you're the wizard.
Yeah, you just blew his cover.
Guys, come on. We're on the air.
You can't
expose me like that.
Can't expose him.
Speaking of exposing, Mr. Lave. Why don't you hit us up with your movie take?
Why would you preface it like that?
What do you mean?
Because you're, I don't know, exposing yourself.
You're exposing your inner thoughts.
I am not exposing myself.
For the record.
Just for those
His
who
pants
can't
are off, ladies.
Emotionally put your pants back on.
I will emotionally put my pants back on. No, so, okay. Meet the Robinsons. All right. It's the every kid's worst nightmare. You're abandoned by your parents. You don't
Sorry,
know
your
them.
Childhood movie is your worst nightmare?
The beginning of it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, but that gives a room to
I'm
save
so
itself.
Sorry.
I
hope, yeah.
No, but it gets better.
Oh, okay.
It gets so much better.
Let's hear.
Okay. We have Lewis. Lewis is an orphan.
Yeah.
Opening scene, his mom is dropping him off on the door, like at the doorstep of the orphanage. And then she leaves him there. He grows up there 12 years. He's an inventor. Like, this kid is wicked smart.
Well, like a little Elon Musk?
A little Elon Musk, just with a lot better hair.
Yeah.
Like, this kid has no stock market.
I don't know. Elon's plugs look pretty good.
So, he's inventing, and, like, the one thing is that none of his inventions ever work. He's kind of like if...
So how can you call him an inventor if his inventions don't work?
Because he still invents. They just don't work. His inventions are failures.
Kind of like I'm a rapper, but I don't have any songs.
Right. Like a SoundCloud rapper.
Do you have flow? I'm actually tone deaf, fun fact.
Oh. Fun fact. There's nothing
self-diagnosed, but I've been told.
So he's coming up on his 13th birthday, and he knows, and like people nowadays, they know that teenagers have a much lower likelihood of being adopted than children.
Yeah.
So he's ready to give up, and he's like, you know what? No. There's one person that will adopt me, and it's my mom, the one who dropped me off. Nobody knows what she looks like, so he has to build an invention to remember, because he has one memory of her. One.
Wait,
second.
Well, the invention had a name. What was it called?
It was the memory scanner.
The memory scanner.
Very on point.
Yeah.
So he makes it.
Self-explanatory.
Very and then practical name.
This weird-ass kid with some slick black hair, right? He's like, I'm from the future. Come with me. Takes him to the future. He's like, listen, everything that you've made works. And like, shenanigans ensue. There's a villain with a bowler hat. Okay, for people that don't know what that is, it's a weird-looking black hat.
It's like the Monopoly hat, but like a little bit round on the top.
Yeah, it's the Mr. Monopoly hat, just with some like with a rim.
Like
yeah,
if a no, classy the Mr. Monopoly bank robber also has a rim. It's just like hat.
Slightly rounded on top.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Shenanigans like ensue.
No, I know. I'm sorry. In my mind, I'm just trying to think like, what would he actually sound like, Mr. Monopoly? You know.
So there is a there's a Monopoly online game, or at least I used to play it at my grandparents' house. Like it was a disc. And you could actually hear Mr. Monopoly talk to you.
When I think of his voice, I'm getting a Mario vibe. Like, it's a me, Mr. Monopoly.
So that's just because he has a mustache.
Yeah. It's discrimination.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you've just shown a very bad light on me.
So anyway, bowler hat.
Bowler hat guy. The bowler hat is itself a robot in a hat, like creepy mechanical arms.
Yeah. So bowler hat guy is the guy and the hat.
The guy, and then the hat is actually controlling him.
Oh.
Manipulating him.
Okay,
is there a little guy in this bowler hat?
So the bowler hat does, at a point, shoot out a little bowler hat. It's really cute.
That's pretty
what?
Wild.
Yeah.
Like a baby trippy. Bowler hat.
No, because he wants to give bowler hat guy a chance to, like, at the wheel. Mm-hmm. So he mind controls a dinosaur, which is awesome. And it creates a really comedic moment where he's like, oh, I'm trying to grab him, but I have tiny hands. I'm a dinosaur. I'm a T-Rex. But we meet some of the craziest people on this trip. Mm-hmm. I mean,
do us a quick rundown.
Quick rundown. You have the grandparents. One of them has a face drawn on the back of his head.
What?
And he can't find his teeth.
What?
Yeah, you gotta help me find my teeth.
Wait,
I remember that.
How is there a face drawn on the back of his head?
Well, he's bald.
Sharpie.
And he drew a face on the back of his head with a Sharpie.
Oh, it's almost like they copied, you know, the end of the first Harry Potter with Professor Quirrell.
Or half of all Lego men.
So, this guy just sounds like he was a bit nuts.
Yeah. There's another guy who's married to a puppet, and they somehow have kids. Don't know.
Are they puppet or human
okay,
kids?
Okay, yeah, let's just leave They're that up to, kids. Again, let's leave that up to children's imagination.
Yep.
And that's how Pinocchio was born.
their butler is a massive squid.
Massive
purple squid.
Is it sentient, or is it like...
Yeah, he's sentient, like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is it an ant?
OG Squid Games.
I can't remember.
Nah, no. Sashimi.
This family, they help him out. They help him realize that it doesn't matter how many times you fail. You always got to get back up. You got to keep moving. There's there's even in the post-credits scene, like in the post-credits scene, in the beginning of the credits, it quotes Walt Disney. Around here, however, we don't look backwards for very long. We keep moving forward, opening up new doors and doing new things. Because we're curious, and curiosity keeps leading us down new paths. And keep moving forward.
Damn, that's deep.
I know, right?
That's good.
Keep moving forward is the most said line in that entire movie. There's an entire song, 5 minutes.
Do you think that's a coincidence, or they did it on purpose?
I think they did that on purpose if yeah. they're making that like
a no, it's a really happy coincidence.
I'm kidding.
But I really took that to heart, you know? There was nothing that really got me down. It was always, that sucks.
You're talking about your childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and so...
I've always been described as a go happy, you know, never
is this,
sad.
Is this something that you didn't have before and now you have because of the movie or something that you just realized from the movie?
I think he resonated. I think what he's saying is like, this is who I am. This quote is who I am.
So
that's why he's our host.
It's like a Dory in Finding Nemo. Exactly. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
So I didn't really like. I was a happy 8-year-old, and then I saw the movie, and I was like, oh man, I should like everyone should be doing this.
Yeah.
Why are people sad? Just keep moving forward.
Yeah, because I don't know how to make crazy inventions out of toasters.
Right. I can't make a toaster. Into a peanut butter and jelly gun.
Should I make it like a DUI? Shit.
DUI. No, not that DUI is driving under the influence.
I got too many of those already.
It's a DYI.
DYI. Anyway, I'll do a
No, DIY.
Sorry.
Nah, so just keep moving forward. It's one of the most important things that people need to learn and keep in mind nowadays because a lot of people are just way too sad.
Speaking of like the depression and sadness, I remember that one character in the movie, his roommate.
Yeah, Goop.
Goop. And I mean like the name even goes with it. I mean he feels like Goop. He looks like Goop.
Is his birth name Goop?
No, his name is Mike Gubowitz, I think. And everyone just calls him Goop.
You think Jewish, he's Jewish?
Guy? Yeah. Jewish guy.
I want to say that. Yeah, I want to say that as well. I think
he's also super into baseball. There's nothing more Jewish than being into baseball.
Yeah, fair enough. Listen, I got one last question for you. Okay, so there's the main guy, obviously the hero.
Lewis,
and the bad guy, bowler hat guy. And we spoke about, obviously, one of the main messages of one of the main themes of the movie, keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
How does each character play into that, you know?
So, Lewis, at the beginning, he's very pessimistic because he's just like, nothing ever works. I keep getting rejected for adoption. He had 124 adoption rejections before he like realized he it was his mom. He did. He had a little box on the roof that he etched like tally marks in. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
So he at the beginning he's super like pessimistic and he keeps trying to invent and everything keeps failing though. And then like he finally got one thing to work and then bowler hat guy messed it up. So he's just like, you know what? Nothing is working. I'm done. Giving up on everything. Just gonna be sad for the rest of my life. And then
I can resonate with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would bowler hat guy mess that up?
We're here for
bowler hat guy wanted to steal his invention because he knew it would work because he's from the future.
Crazy
plot twist.
Right?
Crazy. So
do we all just ruin our childhood movies for everyone? Seriously?
No, these are movies that you
these
have
are all
to
10
watch.
Years old at least. Yeah, like, yeah.
So
no, it's your fault.
Now Wilbur's from the future and he knows.
Who's
he knows
Wilbur?
Wilbur's this kid with the slick back hair.
Oh, okay.
He has the keep moving forward attitude because he knows that Lewis like succeeds and everything works and the whole motto is keep moving forward. And Goop, bowler hat guy, spoiler
Goop,
alert.
Goop's bowler hat
Goop
guy?
Is bowler hat
oh,
guy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
He misses.
I
like,
do remember that.
He has one bad day where he misses a ball and like he misses a catch in his baseball game. Everyone beats him up for it.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And he's in his mind. He's like, no, I did everything right. I'm not to blame here. Lewis is to blame because he kept me up.
He kept him up. Like there, you he see, kept him you up see several times. He's like always up at night and not being able to sleep because of inventing.
Right?
Yeah.
And that kid. Oh my god, that kid is addicted to coffee. Yeah. He's so sleep deprived that like he swaps out the juice box with the coffee.
Wait a second! Isn't there a huge thing at the end where you see the characters from the future also characters from
present
day?
Which
Hang on, isn't there more than once. Isn't there like a character that's seriously addicted to caffeine and has
she got all the caffeine patches.
There's
I think those were cigarette
rolls
patches.
No, it's not.
It's
a children's movie.
At the science fair, one of the judges came in and she's like super energetic. She's like, I haven't slept in 3 days, but I have these caffeine patches to keep me awake. And we're just like, whoa, okay, chill out, lady.
Intense.
We find out that. Never mind. I'll leave that for the listeners.
I don't know. I just think that seems so funny.
If they haven't watched it by now, are they really going to watch it?
I was laughing so hard.
Do they deserve to not have any spoilers, though?
Mm.
It's
been out for a while.
It's it's not much of a spoiler. What we're doing now is not really to spoil movies for people, but to show what inspired us. Obviously, we do want people to watch the movies we watched. But again, like we're saying how it inspired us. I feel like this is a minimum requirement for most people when they were kids to have watched at least one of the four movies that we've presented. And I think that, you know, with that in mind, some people can certainly resonate to the different feelings that we're having. And as adults, look back and see a bit of the bigger picture and how it impacted everyone around us.
Also, if you haven't watched the movie, why even listening to us? Turn off the podcast, go watch these four movies, and then come listen to us and our awesome takes.
Well, you can watch it twice.
Yeah, you could listen to the podcast, watch the movie, listen to the podcast again, watch the movie again. I mean, yeah.
Could be like one of those commentaries throughout the movie. They watch it while they're listening to us.
You can do a couple of those.
I'll just be in someone's ear being like, okay, and now he walks onto the screen.
Some South African ASMR.
Oh, that was an SNL bit where Andy Samberg and Bill Hader, they recorded over a movie for their grandparents. And he's like, no, don't worry. That's not your door. It's just in the movie. So I think Mendel's talking like that. He wants to be in people's ear commentating on the movie.
I wouldn't be that nice.
It's like a horror movie. Don't go through that door. Don't go through that door. Shit.
Oh, man.
Why would you go through that door?
No, it's like in I definitely think that all this thought process going into movies where I think that when we watch movies now, we're commenting in our own heads. Yeah. I think we've gotten to that point. We watch these YouTube videos with big reveals, with deeper, you know, analytics of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
For Marvel, DC, obviously it's very much so Easter eggs when we're looking at, you know, more drama and fantasy stuff. We're looking at, you know, more underlying themes that are coming through.
Which comics they're pulling from.
Yeah, you know, some more interesting details. And I think that the reason why we've gotten to this appreciation is because we've been able to see that movies have this underlying message and this power to change not only us, but society as a whole. And really, by understanding the fact that this power exists, we're able to appreciate new movies when they come out. Or it's actually, like, not enjoy it. You know, I mean, like, some people can go around saying, oh, this movie is insanely good, but
it all stems from our childhood, you know? These movies that we're giving you guys now, these are the movies that, I guess, set us each individually on our own film and cinematic journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall, I just want to get your general impressions on the movies we presented. We're going to rate them 1 through 4. 1 being the movie you have to watch the most, and 4 being, you know, not as important, but still definitely watch.
Who's rating? Are we each of us?
Yeah.
Each of us. Right, okay,
that's what we should do.
So rules wise, we go like this. You can't vote for yourself, but each person has to vote 1, 2, and 3, assuming that yourself will be number 4.
Right.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Man, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, sure. I'm going to go with Meet the Robinsons for number 1.
Wow. What?
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Unpopular opinion.
I'll tell you why. Because as far as kids' movies went, the trailer for that movie was in that intro to all the... It's Disney, right?
Yeah.
To all the, you know, to all those Disney movies, you know, here we go. And they've got... And they've got all the different movies and their different scenes in them. You know, like some short clips. And one of the things is you got to help me find my teeth.
Yeah.
And for me, that
oh, man.
Seeing that made me want to watch that movie so much. And when I did, I absolutely loved that movie. So I'll go with number 1 for that. I'd do number 2 as Harry Potter. Just because,
okay.
I feel it.
Okay, I'll take the silver. I'll take the silver.
Really, really do love Harry Potter. And I'm going to go last for Aladdin. Just because, I felt like my sisters were into it more and considered it a princess movie. And when I'm a kid, when I'm like 7, 8 years old,
it's not a princess movie.
I know
there's a princess in it.
I know. But movie. For my sisters, they considered it that. I'm saying we'd adjust ourselves according to what each of us watched, and my sisters would have the princess movies, and that was there. And so didn't love it as much. But yeah, that's
Daniel.
That would be my order.
Let me think.
Go 1 through 3.
I'm going to go you with 1. I'm going to Mendel.
Appreciate it.
You know, Home Alone, it's a classic. Number 2, I'm going to go with Meet the Robinsons.
That's right.
And three, Harry Potter, just because, I mean, of the three, I'm just basing it off which movies I've watched the most times.
Okay.
Which I appreciate the most.
You've seen Meet the Robinsons more than you've seen Harry Potter?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I'm speechless from like the disrespect going on here. These three idiots know nothing.
Oh, listen, we love Harry Potter, but as a child,
you sound like you like it. I'm pretty sure what Lave is going to say, and I'm not excited to hear it. And okay, Dolphin just straight up disappointed, man.
How about
he disappointed me more than the Giants. Well,
now you've got your opportunity to dish the dirt.
Yeah, no, this isn't about dishing dirt, but I will be honest with my take. I honestly got to go one with Aladdin. I feel Disney staples, you know, like not just on the movie, but also the songs, like, you know, I Can Show You the World. It's a classic. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Good.
I think it's also a great conversation. Like, you know, if you had three wishes, like everyone's had that conversation before. I think, like, you know, yes, it may, you know, your sisters may have called it a princess movie, but I called it a Disney classic.
Yeah. No,
classic
is a classic
for one reason, you know, for a reason.
I appreciate that.
I got to go number two for Home Alone.
Right.
I think it's just pretty straightforward. You know, Home Alone, it's not a Disney classic, but it still is a childhood classic.
It's a Chris Columbus movie.
It's a Chris Columbus movie. Shout out Chris Columbus. Potter and the Philosopher's Stone
discovered
is also
the Americas, yeah.
One of his movies.
No, but dude, different Columbus, bro. Less controversial.
Okay. Because of all your disrespect to Harry Potter, I'm just going to shout out a fact and a shout out to Chris Columbus. Like, a lot of people criticize Harry Potter 1. For being, you know, the flaw of the movie being that it's so accurate to the book and it doesn't deliver anything unique or anything new. That's what I'm saying. Like, bitch, that's a good thing.
He's like, shut up.
You read that book and you wanna see it, you wanna imagine it, and he delivers it exactly how it should. But I can't pick Harry Potter as my number one. So, you know, Aladdin 1, Home Alone 2. And frankly, until you said Meet the Robinsons this week, I forgot about that movie. Listen, so I wouldn't even. Yeah.
I don't take it personally.
Three's, you know, compensation, but like that disrespect for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
DC, Harry Potter, you guys are just targeting me. What the hell is going on here?
So, I like I said before, I'm not
God
the biggest fantasy guy. But I am gonna put Aladdin number one.
That's right.
Just iconic.
Disney
classic.
Okay.
Everyone wanted a genie. Everyone wanted a genie. Any lamp that you saw, whether it was like one in your home that wasn't like the shape of a lamp that they had, like any lampshade in your house, you know, you'd rub it and be like, ah, oh, man.
Robin Williams, come get me.
Okay.
Everyone wanted Jasmine.
Home Alone, just honestly, just a lot of fun. So much fun in one movie.
Definitely.
And then, I mean, Harry Potter. But
yeah, bring it on, bitch.
No, okay.
Come at me.
I have only good things to say. I mean, wizards, a phenomenal world just brought to life. You know, great books that were beautifully illustrated onto film. It's just, I like the other two more.
It doesn't mean we've got any disrespect towards Harry Potter. None. In fact, we've got the utmost respect. It's just like, you know, we've got certain priorities.
I'll be honest,
but I think the overall rating of what we got would be number one being Aladdin, just for two votes at first place. Number two being Home Alone, two votes for second place and one vote for first place. And then Meet the Robinsons, number three, and Harry Potter, number four. Now, this isn't accurate to what everyone else feels. This is what we personally feel.
Let us know on social media your rankings, 1, 2, 3, and 4. What you guys think? Let us know. Now, coming to you from the IDC International Radio Station, this has been Real Life. Now, that's R-E-E-L, Life, because, you know, we're punny here.
Har, har, har.
What is that?
You okay there?
I'm just trying to be as sarcastic as I possibly can.
Yeah. So, you can find us on Twitter at all caps R-E-E-L underscore lower caps Life.
That's Real Life.
And on Instagram at R-E-E-L-L-I-F-E-P-O-D-C-A-S-T on Instagram. No spaces, no caps, no underscores.
Real Life Podcast.
No nothing.
Now,
next week, you can catch us talking about our favorite holiday films.
Wait, can we spoil who's doing what?
Nah. They're going to have to tune in.
You guys got to tune in.
Stay tuned for scenes from our next
holding
episode.
Holding the ransom.
Ho.
All right, that's it.
All right, terrific.